Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
Yeah, really shouldn't be drinking.
Oh, really? You learned that in med school that you obviously didn't get into?
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
He's a very gifted singer.
I'm really, really good.
How good?
I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Stop.
By people who've heard me. That good.
On 1080, The Fan.
Step into the spotlight. This song is dope, man.
Yeah.
I love this.
I was like, oh man, he's about to go in.
We recently changed the intro to the show, what, 3 weeks ago, Jesse? Three weeks ago?
I think three.
Brand new intro to the show, man. Shout out to Turn Down For What. That was good to us for a good 4 years. So happy Easter.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years, man. It's been 4 years since we were doing the show. Turn Down For What was our first. That was a hype song at the moment. It didn't have no lyrics. You know, there was no rap part. There was no breakdown. It was just Turn Down For What.
It was a crazy beat.
It was a dope beat.
You go somewhere and they play that, it's over with.
But shout out to RTJ, which is Run the Jewels and Killer Mike for that song from the Black Panther soundtrack. So we figured it'd be a good little intro for Sports Sunday. But as you can tell, I am not Mike Lynch. That soothing baritone voice is back in New Jersey with his family for the holidays. So happy holidays over there to the Lynch family, probably the nicest group of people that I've ever met, which is why Lynch probably is so likable.
He is likable.
Yeah, he's a likable dude. So that other little soothing baritone you might hear over here is none other than 1080 The Fan's Do It All dude, my guy Marcus Greaves. What's good with you, bro?
Man, I'm just chilling, man. I appreciate you inviting me. It's about time, you know.
Absolutely. You know, we've kind of worked with each other for almost a little over a year, like doing football and doing all type of stuff, like high school football. And we never met face to face until last week. Last week at the Hoop Summit practice, and I saw you with a 1080 folder, and I was like, man, who is this dude? I don't know him. So I walked up and was like, man, you know, you work for the Fan? Told me your name. I was like,
there it is, man.
There it is, man. So had to get you in here today, especially I knew Lynch would be gone for a couple weeks. You know, I don't know if he's gonna be back next week. So
yeah, I don't know. I was gonna have to ask you though. What's up with this Sunday morning show? We're talking 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Come on, man. We can't go a little later.
I mean, like till like 12.
Used to be at 8.
When we first started, the show started at 8. Oof.
Maybe we need to push back the start of the show, man, because that's crazy.
We have some really faithful listeners that have been with us since the 8 o'clock time start. And then there was a point to where we had to stop at like 9:30 because the Seahawks come on at 10. Then there's days to where we don't have a show at all because the Seahawks come on. So we've got some real faithful listeners that have been with us for a long time. You can interact with us, too, on the Better You Today text line, 55305. You can get at me on Twitter, which I've been relatively active on lately. You know,
I have to say, I tried to follow you, man. You didn't follow me back.
You tried to follow me?
Yeah, man.
I will add you.
I get it, man.
I will do this right now. No, that's not on purpose, bro.
Jesse, you got a Twitter, too?
I will do this right now.
Yeah, it's very unactive.
I was going to say, then I probably followed you, too. I'm pretty sure I followed everyone from the Fan.
I will search you right now, and I will make sure that you are followed.
Outside of NFL season, I'm not on Twitter too much.
I was a little heartbroken. I was like, man, do people at the Fan not like me?
And follow.
I'll take that.
We're right there, man. So we got a pretty, it's playoffs, so we got a pretty NBA show, heavy show for you today. Pretty much really Blazer heavy. We got to talk about game three. We're going to talk about the playoffs overall. Big game four coming up for both teams tonight. This could mean a lot for the Blazers. This can mean everything for the Thunder. So we're going to talk about game four and what to expect in that game. You said something about the Celtics that I kind of want to dive in about. You said you don't trust Boston. We can talk about that because I think we might have differing opinions. Of course, Hater to Love It is going to be at 10:30. But first, I want to start with you, Marcus. I'm glad I got you here because yesterday was a relatively significant day for football fans, especially if you're a football fan from Oregon State University. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was a spring game.
Yes, sir.
Now, keep in mind, I don't like to dive too much into spring games because there's, I mean, I think there's only so much that you can learn. You know, a lot of the guys, they're not trying to, you know, if you're on defense, you're not trying to hurt your teammate. You want to make an impact, but you want to make sure you stay within the confines of still practicing, you know, is really what you're doing, just fine-tuning that. Couple guys I just want to talk about. I wanted to ask you about Jake Luton. Sixth-year senior.
Yeah, the man's old, man. He was there, man.
He's like 40.
When I was there.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like my age, man. So, you know, he's still out there slinging it. Last year wasn't the year that I think a lot of Oregon State fans thought it would be for Luton. You think you get this guy in here, he's going to turn things around for you, especially after a little bit of experience. And it still doesn't happen that year. There still looks to be a lot of optimism, but how much of that has to do with Jake Luton, in your opinion?
I think a lot of it. I mean, Jake Luton, don't get me wrong, I think he's proven himself when he's not injured, right? I think when he's in there, the offense is rolling because Oregon State's offense has, I mean, they've improved since Jonathan Smith has got there. But the biggest problem, as we know, is their defense. I mean, it's a shootout every game. I mean, Oregon State will lose, you know, 61 or 57 to 35, 38 to 40. And so you're just like, man, like, I think the offense is doing everything right. And I think since they got Tristan Jebbia,
offense everyone, was good last year.
Yeah, everyone thought this guy, I mean, this quarterback from Nebraska was going to come in and, you know, kind of just walk in and take the spot. But, you know, if you've been there 6 years, you know, granted, he's only been at Oregon State. This will be his third year, but 6 years of playing college football, you're going to be pretty good, and you're going to understand the offense. You're going to understand everything you need to do. And so I think that's what Jake has the advantage of. And now he's the old guy on the team, right? He's the experienced leader on the team, especially leading this offense, which, you know, they have Jamar Jefferson. They have Trayvon Bradford. They got Tyjon Lizzie from Nebraska. They have a lot of good weapons, Isaiah Hodgins. So, I mean, he's primed to have a pretty dang good season. All he has to do, right, is just – I think, and sometimes I say this, is sometimes he just has to play bad, right? Say you play bad, miss a couple passes, but he has guys on his team that all you have to do is throw him, you know, if it's Isaiah.
Yeah, he got some horses on the team.
Yeah, a four-yard hitch, and he's taking it to the house.
And also, if you're looking for a way to stay motivated, you could look at, you know, highly regarded transfer.
Yeah.
Tristan, is it Jebbia? How do you say it?
It's Jebbia.
Yeah, Tristan Jebbia, who actually had the only passing touchdown for the Beavers yesterday in that game. So, and mind you, it was a 4-yard pass, so it wasn't like he blew the roof off with any big plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're looking for competition or if you're looking for a way to stay motivated, you know, having somebody breathing down your neck to get on the field could be a big deal for Luton this year.
Well, that's just something that Oregon State hasn't had. You know, when I was there, we kind of had with the last staff, the Anderson era, is that we had everything kind of set in place already, right? So that was the biggest problem, is that guys were transferring in and out because there's really nothing they could do, right? Say you're a great player, but, you know, you have a good player ahead of you. You even practice better for months and months and months. It doesn't matter because they already have their guys set in stone. And that's why you see guys like Richard Mullaney, who transferred from Oregon State, goes to Alabama, 3 weeks later is a starter, right? He goes right before fall camp, ends up starting, and then ends up being their number one receiver. So stuff like that, it's frustrating, but I think Coach Smith and his staff are on the right track, right? They have everything I think that they need. It's just they have to find a way to change that defense, man.
Now, did you play for Gary Anderson?
I played for Gary Anderson, and I played for Coach Riley.
Okay, wow.
Hey, I'm old, man.
Yeah, I could tell. So, playing for a coach like Mike Riley, you know, Mike Riley is a highly regarded here in the state of Oregon, really throughout college football for his resume. I think a lot of times you think of the way things end, and that's how we kind of think of a player. You know, we think of Kobe at the end of the drive. We think of Brett Favre at the end of his career, and we kind of forget all the greatness that was going on in between there. What was the best part of playing for Mike Riley? I'm just curious to know because I don't get a whole lot of, you know, Beaver alums on the show.
Yeah, he's just, man, there's just so much about him. Like, it's if – I don't want to say like something illegal, like, you know, if you can't pay for something, he would buy it for you. But he's like, he just comes off like that guy. And I always tell people the story is that, you know, I lived in a small place in Central Oregon, man, in Prineville, a town of like 10,000 people. And let me tell you, obviously it's not the best recruiting hotbed, but out of all the coaches that came to, you know, talk to me, they're sending me letters, you know, getting recruited at my senior year. I just showed up to my house one day. Coach Riley was knocking on the front door. You know, he's like, "What's up, man? Hey, nice to meet you." He's like,
"Let's go fishing in Prineville." Yeah.
he's like the old grandpa that you just love to be around. And he's a good dude. There's just, you know, there's just really nothing you can complain about. He's just that man.
So what happened with Gary Anderson? Like, we were all so confused because here you get this great coach, or what everyone still assumes is a great coach, I guess. Great track record, comes to Corvallis and lays a big wet fart. Like, what happened? You know, there, just in your opinion, having played on that team, what was going on?
There's just too much, man. There's too much of, you know, there's biased coaches. There was coaches that didn't really care about how you performed because, you know, they're going to get paid regardless. And then at the end of the day, you look at it, it's they're protecting themselves, not, you know, protecting the players, right? So if a player doesn't do good, they're not going to stand up for a different player because, right, they don't want to put their name on the table just for Coach Anderson and his staff to, I don't know, to, right, get mad at you, and then they'll be like, all right, we're done playing this kid, right? And it's just stuff like that, but there was just it seemed corrupt to me, right? And it's the fact that they tell you one thing and then they turn around and do the other thing. Like, I always tell people why I am frustrated with that staff and while, you know, why I'm so bitter about it is the fact that, you know, I tore both my ACLs. And so that's like, as you know, being a former athlete, man, that's like the ultimate
a death
price.
Almost,
Yeah, that's a death sentence. Exactly.
Almost, in some cases, yeah. It used to be, especially back in the early 90s, and, you know, that was – nobody came back from that, so yeah.
Exactly, and that's what it was. So when I go there and, you know, I tear my second one in spring ball, I'm trying to go get surgery and everything, and then the doctor's like, you know, you're not going to be back for the season, you're going to have to retire, you're basically done playing football. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Absolutely.
Right, and then so you have to go tell the coaching staff, so you do, and then Coach Anderson's like, you know, it's all right. It's, you know, we'll be fine, you'll be around, right, and we can keep you around. And then after that, you know, I try to go in for rehab, and they're like, what are you doing here? You can't be here. So they basically, like, don't let me back into the football facilities. Wow. And basically, I had to do my own rehab.
I think that's a whole show, you know, on itself.
We can leave it at that.
No, that's crazy. And, you know, this is really the first time that I've ever been able to hear this story from you. So we should definitely talk about that more because I'm interested to see, you know, if there are other people that have played for Coach Anderson, or really any coach that's kind of the story of. But we're going to keep it a little light just for the sake of the rest of the day. And we're going to keep it light by talking about, well, it wasn't a light game, but it definitely hurt. But I think we're okay with it, man. Game 3, Blazers fall to the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to dissect that when we come back here, right here on Sports Sunday in the Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:16 here on beautiful,
cloudy
Oregon Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to all out there. Hopefully you get a chance to hang out with your families and do some cool stuff. I don't know that there was another holiday last night that I'm pretty sure a lot of folks celebrated, you know, in their own unique way.
In their own way.
Absolutely. You know, lots of wraps sold, lots of organic hemp wraps here in the city of Portland, you guaranteed. Know,
that's always funny because Will Darkins and Luke Anderson, they're like, can we talk about that on the show? I was like, you know, I don't know if we can, but.
I don't know why we can't. I don't know why we can't. I mean, it's
I'm a part-time guy. I ain't willing to put my
life on the line.
I'm just saying,
I'm with you. I'm out there with you, but I mean, at this point, it's just as legal as drinking, you know, so, I mean, I get it, but
it's more of an FCC thing because it's federally not legal, and that's why you don't hear.
See, Jesse's got the answer. I knew Jesse was going to have
Yeah, so if it was federally legal, you'd be hearing dispensary commercials and that kind of stuff probably on our airs, but since it's not.
But I have heard stuff about, like, I know there was like a weed convention or something like that happened here, and I think the commercial was played here on the Fan. So
we when it first became recreationally legal, we did have like some they were more, I think, geared towards people actually trying to get into the industry, but we have shied away since. And I some of that, once again, is to do with FCC rules, regulations, all that kind of jazz.
Doesn't mean people weren't smoking weed yesterday.
and that doesn't mean that you can't talk about it either. And so if you listen to FM DJs, they're talking about that kind of stuff all the time. So
So shout out to all the people that celebrated safely. You know, there can be some dum-dums out there. So whatever you do, make sure you do it safely. Game three. I'm curious. Did anyone actually think the Blazers were supposed to win that game?
No. I didn't think they were, but, you know, part of me, towards the end of the game, and here's the thing. I always tell people this. I told Will this. I tell everybody is that I'm not a Blazer guy. Like, I'm not from Oregon. Like, I lived in Oregon for a good part of my
life.
You're
a New York guy.
Yeah, so it's like.
You're a Knicks fan, man.
I like the Knicks, man. So, but here's the thing. It's okay because here's the thing. Like, when it comes down to it, I'm taking Damian Lillard over Russell Westbrook. And I love Russell Westbrook. But the way he's acting and the way Damian Lillard is carrying himself in this series, it just makes me like him that much more because, man, there's something about this Blazer team. And I know I heard the whole, like, you know, the Blazers, they always choke or they find ways to lose. But I think the biggest thing that stands out to me with this team is that they just have depth and they have a bunch of dogs, right? They're not going to have guys like Paul George who are going to come out and drop 50 points every single game, but apparently he hasn't. But well,
it's
just
coming though, you know.
Yeah, it's just the fact that it's two competitors going at it with Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook, and then it's two of the best fan bases going at it too. I mean, when someone comes to Portland, you know, right? When someone that Portland doesn't like, and I love that.
See, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to give OKC credit for being a great fan base. They're still a new fan base. Like, I'm still bitter about the fact that that's Seattle's team. Mm-hmm. This should be a Portland-Seattle basketball game, you know, right now. The I-5 rivalry, that used to be, I'm telling you, as a kid growing up here in Portland, man, there was no better trip than that 3 hours to Seattle to go to Key Arena to watch the Blazers play against the Supersonics. And so the fact that OKC gets a chance to, you know, they even have their championship banner, you know, up somewhere up there, which is craziness to me, but I'm with you, man. I think Damian Lillard is far superior to Russell Westbrook. Now, what I will say is I don't know if anybody plays basketball harder than Westbrook. That's what I'll say. I think he leaves every bit of it on the floor. He's emotional, and sometimes I'm okay with that because I think you need a dude on your team that just has a couple screws loose. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have as many screws loose as, let's say, a Boogie, you know. But Westbrook is able to – I mean, how many times has he really been ejected from the game? We've seen KD being ejected from multiple games this year.
Yeah, yeah.
How many games have we honestly seen Westbrook ejected from? He does a great job of getting to the head of his opponent, and when he does that, they get out of their game. That's why Dame is so cool because it doesn't faze him. You know, none of that stuff really bothers him. You keep talking, man, that's cool. I'm just going to keep busting your ass out here and give you 30.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's just if you go and start talking trash to Damian Lillard like Russell Westbrook was, we'll see a full game like it was a third quarter in game three, right? I mean, what did he do? Come out and drop 25? Like, give me a break, man. Don't poke the bear. And that's exactly what he did. You know, obviously – the Thunder ended up winning, Dennis Schroeder or Schroeder or whatever started tapping his wrist, and you know they're all talking smack when they know they're gonna win. But that's how I know that they're scared though, is that they're not saying anything.
Oh no,
mid game, right? When it's close, they're not gonna say nothing because they know if you put Damian Lillard over that next level, it's over with because he'll drop 50 on you.
So Dame didn't have the game that he would have wanted to the other night, but he did have 25 points in the third quarter, which helped bring the Blazers back. He ended up finishing the game with 32 overall. It was the rest of the team that just really didn't come to play.
Yeah.
I think that was the main thing. When you look at the stat sheet for Oklahoma City, Paul George had 22, Jeremy Grant had 18. Steven Adams is able to put up 10 and have 7 rebounds. Westbrook did Westbrook things and had 33 and 11. Terrence Ferguson, you know, even Dennis Schroeder, like you mentioned, who really, and we got to stop doing this. Dennis Schroeder's a starter. Dennis Schroeder is a starting NBA point guard who happens to play behind one of the best point guards in the league.
That's fact.
If he played for any other team, almost any other team that doesn't have a Damian Lillard, a Stephen Curry, a Kyrie Irving, man, he is starting on that team. Like, Dennis Schroeder is that good, and he's been starting for his entire career up until he had gotten to OKC. So we got to make sure we put that back out there. Like, they weren't getting busted by a scrub.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a lot of time what people kind of start poking to is like, oh, he's off the bench, he's a scrub. No, Dennis Schroeder is a starter, and he was plus 12 for 17 and 6 that night. So he can definitely play. My issue was the Blazers didn't have a guy, and we have a text here on the Better You Today text line, is Portland, we've always been AI, Mo, and Evan Turner shoot and play offense as badly as they did that night. They were forced to count on threes from non-shooters. That's most of the game with what they kind of did. And it was unfortunate because you tried to let, you know, Harkless wasn't great. You know, you need him to be better if you plan to win. Rodney Hood was not great. And I said last week on the show, I think he's the X factor for this Blazers team. If Rodney Hood plays well like he did in game one and game two, he gets at least 10 to 15 points, the Blazers have a great chance of winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if he's just subpar, then they have no chance. But Seth Curry wasn't great in that game. Man, Zach Collins was where are all your support players? Because all the role players for OKC came to play.
Mm-hmm. They did. That's just it. It can't be just Dame and CJ. I think we've said that from the get-go at the beginning of the season. It's just, you just have to have somebody step up, right? No matter who it is. And sometimes it could be Myers Leonard, right? Something crazy. But maybe Aminu, Rodney Hood. You're right. When Rodney Hood and Seth Curry, when they at least, you know, just come to play, I think Portland will win that game 9 out of 10 times, right? It's just the fact that you look, it's Dame has 32, CJ has 21, and you have Cantor have 19. Then everyone else is 7, 8, 4. And then you look at OKC and, you know, 4 of their 5 starters have double digits. And I think that's just a big X.
And
right?
I think we have to really kind of talk about how good CJ McCollum, you know, was the other night. Like he did what he was supposed to do, you know, so far. He came out, he was able to get you the most assists that we had seen at this point. He's putting up 26 a game for these playoffs, and he's putting up 7 rebounds. Like, this is coming from CJ McCollum. Like, he's out there doing what I think a lot of people have been expecting him to do for most of his career. And I think if that continues to happen, like, I'm not worried about Dame and CJ.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and put that out there. They're, you know, we know they're going to do what they do. It's who else is going to come to help them out, man. I think Cantor has emerged as a great offensive player for the Blazers, but he's a defensive liability, and you know it. Like, he just he won't even try to make a play defensively because he knows he's going to put himself in foul trouble. So guys just drive right past him. Steven Adams in game 1 and 2 looked like an all-star.
Yeah, he did. he was bodying him.
Steven
like,
Adams was giving him the blues, and I just couldn't understand. Put a hand up. Just jump a little bit. Jump at him. You went to Kentucky. You can't be this bad of a defender.
Yeah. There's no way he can be, but, you know, I think it just, like you said, it just boils down to another role player stepping up, because I think in the first two games as well, Mo Harkless did a great job on Paul George. And, you know, Paul George, I don't think he's been great this series, but what was it? OKC shot, what was it? Let me check real quick. It was 51% from three. I can live with that, right? I can live with OKC shooting 51% in a game and then end up winning in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because they're not going to do that all the time.
Yeah, they're not going to do that all the time. And the Blazers shot 38%, right? No. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm 100% okay with Russell Westbrook taking threes. I mean, he was four or six. That's not going to happen every night. I think they're in the right position. It's just when you go to, say you go to a game three like Portland did, right? They go to OKC. They're going to hit you with their best shot, right? That's exactly what they're going to try to do. And then Portland just has to respond. And I think Dame and CJ are great players. And their ability to respond to something like this, I think Portland's going to be okay, man, because, yeah, after this next game or after this game today, then what? They head back to Portland. And I have 100% confidence that OKC cannot win in Portland.
Wow, that's
coming from someone. That's coming from someone who's not a Blazer fan.
Okay, well, just for FYI, Paul George for the series so far averaging 25 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. A little bit down from his season numbers, but he's that good to where he's still averaging 25. So that lets you know exactly what the Blazers are dealing with a guy with a bum shoulder. Coming up next, man, we're gonna kind of dive into this Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook thing because I'm curious. You said he's better. I want to see what the fans think. We're going to talk about that next. But first, Jesse at SportsCenter.
Mm.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
We got some text here on the Better You Today text line. Dame is a better all leader and player by far. Westbrook seems like he's straight out of the Jailblazer era. So it should be noted, man, Westbrook is a tough player, man. Westbrook would be in the Jailblazer era. You got to remember, like, them dudes, none of them dudes were choir boys, man. Westbrook is a family man. He goes home at the end of the day. He's no Jailblazer. But I do see kind of what you mean. People forget that the OKC losses with the season were with Nurkic. Dame may be better than Russ, no bias to the Zers fans, but I still say the Blazers are a roster that struggles to win the playoff series. They're 2-11 in the last 13 games. That's true. We have to keep that in mind as well. Like, while the Blazers did start, they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Any home team in the playoffs is supposed to do, protect home court.
Yeah.
OKC went home, they did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Protected home court. So if the Blazers can go in there and steal, that's going to say a whole lot for the type of team that they actually are, because we got to remember OKC has been bashing the Blazers for the past 2 years.
Like
pretty bad. And some of those have been blowout losses. Now, while Dame has played much better against Westbrook over the past six games, you know, when Westbrook looked at Dame when he was on the line and said, "I've been busting your ass for years, bro." That wasn't a lie. You know, that was kind of the real deal. But, you know, I think Westbrook may have been in the heads of OKC, of the Blazers a little bit.
Yeah, I think he was, but you hit a point where, and being a former athlete, anyone would know this, or just in general, man, even if we're talking about cards, if you lose enough times, right, eventually you're going to get pissed off and find a way to win, right? And I think that's what Portland did, because you're right. After Russ saying, "I've been busting your ass for years," I was like, you see.
It's hard to be like he's lying,
but he's not, right? And so I think after so many times of that happening, you just hit a point, and Dame, I think, hit a point where he's like, "Listen, I'm about to go out and shut this man up." And I think he's really been doing that, honestly.
We got one that says, "Role players thrive at home. It may go seven unless these guys can find a way to do something." That's from P1 Dustin. Yes, role players play better at home. You have that energy coming off the bench. You don't start, so you don't get the opportunity to get a running start to come into the game and kind of, you know, you have, as a role player, it's tough because you got to come in and be instant offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get an opportunity to really warm up or give me two or three shots to feel myself. No, I got to come in there immediately and try to get a bucket and try to make something good happen for my team. So I think it'd be much harder for role players to get involved in some of these games. After the 2-0 lead, I heard so many people switch their series pick to the Zers winning. I changed from OKC in six to OKC in seven. I would love the Blazers to win in six games or in five games.
Yeah.
Ideally, as a fan, and, you know, people say, "We're homers, we're done," but we can be really hard on this team. But as a fan, yes, man, the city is much more fun when the Blazers are good. Trust me, I've seen it. So if they can get to the second round and do it without a guy getting hurt and without any, "Oh, well, this only happened because of this," then yes, man, that will be a great thing.
Yeah, and imagine.
That said, I do think Oklahoma City at this point has the better player in Paul George, and I think that's where things kind of change. And so I'm still saying OKC in six. Mm-hmm. I would love it to go longer, but, I mean, I could definitely see OKC coming out and rattling off four straight or seven.
Really?
I could.
You really could?
I could see that, just the way they're playing and looking at a team that's just collapses, you know, at the point. Because like I said, like the texter said, man, they're 2-11 in the last 13 games against OKC. Sometimes the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just see it like this. I mean, playoffs are a whole different animal. They're a whole different beast, and I think they bring out, everyone always says, right, playoff P, you know, playoff Braun activated, all that. But, I mean, let's give Damian Lillard some credit about what he's doing right now. I mean, this dude is playing at a whole different level, and the way I know is because we know Damian Lillard's a great offensive player, but if he gets hyped when he's getting a defensive stop, that just shows how much this means to him. And I really think that that's going to take them to that second round because, man, if you have Dame busting his ass on defense, come on, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like Russell Westbrook can probably score on him at any time he wanted, or at least if he can knock down his shots, but he hasn't been able to. But even that, like, you just see that if you get those guys like Dame and CJ really buying into defense, then it's going to lead to offense. That's really how it is. And, you know, like we said, OKC just shot 50% from three. I don't know if they can do that consistently for the rest of the series. If they do, then yeah, okay, they deserve the win. But if it comes down to shooting, I think I'm taking the Blazers over that.
We have one here. We have another message here on the Better You Today text line. Can't win on the road when the refs call fouls 2-1 for the home team. Yeah, the refs did call a lot of fouls.
That was bad, man.
It was pretty bad. It got pretty egregious at a point. The Blazers 18 for 24 from the free throw line. Oklahoma City, 39 free throws. So 15 more than the Blazers.
Yeah.
That's kind of saying something. You know, 79% from the line. They knocked 31 of them down. Yeah, at a point that the fouls got real egregious. I was looking for Tim Donaghy somewhere on the floor just to see if there wasn't some type of collusion going on. But, you know, I think you have to play through that. At home, I think the Blazers are going to get similar calls just because the home crowd is rocking. It's hard as a referee to really not side with or be emotionally invested in with the home crowd or with anything that's happening. So I could get that. I think the Blazers have to play through that because yet and still they had an opportunity to win that game.
They did.
With all of the bogus calls, and I'm using the air quotes here as I say that, some of them were incredibly bogus, but there were some of them that were right on point. And you've got to be smarter than that. Yeah. The smartest teams in the playoffs typically win.
Well, that's why I really think that the Blazers can win this because you look at 15 more free throws, right? And OKC shooting 50%. And the Blazers, I mean, they had, like you said, they had a chance to win it. That's why I'm saying that I feel like that might have been Oklahoma City's, right? That was probably their right hook. And your right hook is your strongest most of the time, right? They're coming in with a blow because they have to, right? Because if you don't make a statement and you don't find a way to win, then this series is all but over if they're up 3-0, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying that was OKC's best shot. And like I said, I'm not a Blazer fan. I like OKC more than I like the Blazers. But I'm just being real because I really think that this Blazer team, maybe not player for player is better, but I certainly think they're a better team.
No, I think they have better role players, but I just think Paul George being the superstar that he is, like he has a bum shoulder. He's averaging 3 points less than he averaged in the regular season. I think those are the things that put them over the top. The Blazers have always had a tougher time with bigger perimeter players.
Yeah.
Paul George, 6'8", can dribble past you, can shoot over you. Outside of Kevin Durant and LeBron, maybe Giannis, name another power forward or small forward that's better than Paul George. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't. Like, he's in that top five conversation, top three conversation. So that you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Refs create the tempo for the game. It happened early. The game was so off tempo because the whistles came so frequently. Yes. Those things can, you know, the stop your flow of things of how you're playing your game. That can definitely happen. But again, in the playoffs, you have to play through that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't afford to go cold. You can't afford to have your bench players give you like 30 points. You know, you've got to get a little bit more than that because otherwise you're going to tire Dame out. You're going to tire CJ out, and then some of these other guys are going to have to make. Excuse me, the Blazers bench had 17 points.
Oh,
that's not going to work. So you're going to need more from Seth. You're going to need more from Rodney Hood and some of these other guys. You have to be able to play through some of that adversity in the playoffs.
Well, I just really have confidence in their bench. I mean, Curry, come on, he's a Curry, man. You think he's not going to hit a three in another game? I don't think so. No. I don't think it'll be like that. But
he's definitely going to hit some more.
Yeah, and Rodney Hood is inconsistent. But, I mean, like you said, when he catches on fire, that's why if you're OKC, you hope that he doesn't catch fire. Because if he catches fire, then it might be – it's bad news, man, because he's going to go off for, 15 – and maybe even 20. There's a couple times he's went off for 20, and then what happens is it just gets the offense and everybody more involved. And so I really think that was OKC's best blowback, at least for that they can give Portland right now. I think Portland's a better team. The role players just have to step up. And OKC, I mean, they got the calls. They're shooting 50% from three. And, I mean, that's – what more can you ask for, right? That's like the oop, and someone just has to, you know, put it down, right?
Well, let's see if they can put it down. Game three tonight, 7:30. Is that right, Jesse?
6:30.
6:30. So we're going to do a preview of Game 4 in Oklahoma City tonight, 6:30. That's coming up next right here on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
That was a weird Walmart commercial.
I was like, what?
Okay.
You know, it's always funny hearing these commercials. I have a commercial on here, and it's bad.
Wait, you have a commercial?
Yeah.
I don't get a commercial. I've been here for 4 years. Like, who'd I have to sleep with to get a commercial? Like, geez, man, I want a commercial. Give me, like, you know, the foot inserts, you know what I'm saying? Like the shaving cream, like yeah, something.
Yeah. Manscape it up, bro. Get up on that dirt and sprig manscaping.
I don't want to do that one.
He's got a line. And it's above dirt and sprigs.
Oh, yeah. Mine was better to you today. So that was a good one. I'll take that.
See, that's a good one.
But yeah, I don't know if I'll do the razor one. No. I don't know if I'll be like, you know, manscaping.
Yeah, no, manscaping is good. Sprig looks like a manscaper.
Yeah.
Sprague, I mean, I guarantee it's like shaped into like a bonsai tree or something like that. I guarantee it. All right. Game four.
All right, game four.
Game four. Tonight, 6:30, Chesapeake Arena. Is that what it's called?
OKC? Yeah, I think it's
Chesapeake Arena?
Chesapeake.
Or Chesapeake Bank? What is it?
Chesapeake something arena, I think.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, that's where they are tonight, is in Oklahoma City. And those jerseys are really ugly. The ones they wore the other night? No, I don't.
Man.
I don't like those. We had a text here on the Better You Today text line that says, who designed the OKC jerseys Friday night? Helen Keller? I mean.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, they were pretty bad, man.
But, okay, are those some of the worst ones you've seen, though?
Some of the worst ones?
Yeah.
I don't like Utah's jerseys. The ones they wore last night?
The red ones?
I don't like those.
Yeah, them things.
Yeah, those are weak. I don't like those ones. I don't like the Charlotte jerseys. Just go back to the old Hornets jerseys. Those would be dope. There's a lot of jerseys that I would have to look, because right now, like, the Blazers are always going to have a consistently dope jersey.
Yeah.
Like, just the red with the Rip City across is still a new one, but that's fresh. Like,
yeah.
Just the old,
it's basic.
The old red with the Bill Walton jerseys with the Blazers that kind of goes down the side, like, that was fresh. So the Blazers, I don't think they've ever had a weak jersey. Like, that's the one.
I don't think they've ever went out of their way and had an ugly jersey.
So hopefully they mimic another champion who won last week wearing red, and they go back to the red shirts, because Tiger Woods won the Masters wearing red last Sunday. So maybe, you know, the Blazers will be able to master the Thunder.
See what I did there?
Maybe they'll be able to master the Thunder in game four tonight. So I'm curious of what we expect. I know what I expect is for Oklahoma City to come out firing, but there's one thing we haven't talked about yet, and it's the end of game three. There's no time left. The time is expiring, and Paul George does a double-clutch reverse dunk just to put an exclamation point on. Now, at that point, the Blazers were already down 10.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no such thing as a 10-point play. They weren't coming back. Paul George did that part just to be an a-hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully the Blazers and the bench, they took some exception to that, because there was a little jawing back and forth between everybody's favorite Blazer ever, Raymond Felton, and I forget who he was talking to, maybe Evan Turner or something like that. But I expect the Blazers to come out ready for a fight.
Yeah.
Expect this game to be really chippy. Expect there to be a lot of contact. Expect there to be a technical or three or four, because I think this is going to be a game that's went from being, okay, we respect each other, but we both want to win, to, this is kind of personal.
Now. Yeah, absolutely.
At least for the Blazers.
Yeah, that's certainly what it seems like. It just seems like an old school just rivalry, which is what you want, which is, you know, it's cool to see, like we were saying at the beginning of the show, just two competitors going at it, but it's everybody now, right? It's Russell Westbrook talking trash to Mo Harkless, right? Then, you know, Evan Turner talking to Raymond Felton. Regardless, it's just a bunch of guys going at it, but, man, I don't know if how the Blazers feel, but I know for a fact when I watched that, you know, I probably can't repeat that or repeat it over the air, but I was just like, man, Paul George, what are you doing? Like, I was like, that's a clown act, man. Somebody give this dude a red nose and some clown shoes, because that's ridiculous, man. Which I get it, I guess, if you're a competitor, that's something that they would do. But then you go into the press conference, and I don't know why everyone's hitting this, you know, next question. Next question.
Like that's Westbrook being a jerk to the there's one specific
writer
that Westbrook is not fool with.
Last game I went to, but that's what I'm saying though. Like, you guys win the game, right? So what are you gonna do at the end of the game? You're gonna put down a dunk like that, which I get. Time's still on the clock, so might as well do it. But I don't know. I guess it depends how you look at it. If you're a competitor like me, I'm gonna be 100% honest. I probably would have done it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because that's
no. You play. There are some people that just say, "Man, you play to the whistle.
Yeah.
You play until the game is over, and so no mercy and everything." But I'm hoping the Blazers, who already knew that game was over, knew they played like crap, especially in the fourth quarter. Dame couldn't get it going until the third quarter. So yeah, they didn't play the best game they should have. I think they will come out with an energy that they had in game one and game two.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing you did. Energy is everything on the road. You're going to need that. Why? Because you're not getting it from your crowd.
Yeah, you're not.
It has to come from your locker room. It has to come from that guy. That's why the Warriors are great to have a Boogie, or a Draymond, you know, or a Boogie, or somebody that can get you hype, whether you're at home or not. Like, who's going to be that guy for the Blazers? And I honestly, looking at the team, I don't know if there's a dude that you can say is their rah-rah guy. It may be Zach Collins. It may be Myers Leonard.
I thought it used to be Nurk, maybe, when he was there, right? But I don't know. Jesse, what do you think, man? You look like you're ready to give us a lowdown.
I think it's you're getting what you what you would normally get out of your starters. They've been playing normal. I think really the biggest onus is on the bench, which. Typically, so you need Seth Curry hitting some threes, or you need some Roddy Hoods coming in and hitting some threes. You need Zach Collins coming in and playing some big defense, maybe hitting a couple threes. And that's why I think playing on the playoffs, or up on the road in the playoffs, is very difficult, because it is so reliant at that point. The X factor really typically relies on your bench, because Damian Lillard, you went off for 31. It still wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It still wasn't close to being good enough, because you had two starters shooting 33% from the field. That means you need two guys to step up when you have a couple starters having a down night, because ultimately you're not going to have all five of your guys like on fire every night.
No, no.
So you need a couple guys from your bench every night to kind of step up, especially on the road. And that to me is like, you need Seth Curry getting hot
or
something.
So I have a crazy, crazy notion.
Yeah.
You need scoring. Obviously, OKC isn't a great three-point shooting team. I don't expect them to go 50% again from three. I expect Paul George to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't expect OKC to do that again. Would you play Anfernee Simons? I'm one of those people that thinks that Simons could fit in perfectly to the offense and what the Blazers are trying to do, because he's a shooter.
Yeah.
The one thing he's shown me in the few limited minutes that he's got in the one last game of the season, the kid can shoot, and he's got really long arms, and he's able to kind of create his own shot. Like, is he somebody that can be inserted, especially right now, if you see Seth isn't working, if you see Jake Layman isn't working, you know, at what point do you say, well, because I remember one time the Blazers put in an unproven rookie that had no previous experience named Zach Randolph, and he put him in game, this is the first year the series went to 7 games in the first round as opposed to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him in game 3, after the Blazers were down 3-0, and he bought them back and they went 7 games. Now they lost, but all of a sudden you found out, man, who the hell is this Zach Randolph guy?
Yeah.
And he ends up becoming a great player for the Blazers, ended up becoming an all-star and all type of stuff. So I think there's something to be said for a guy like Simons coming in the game, especially as the way the NBA has changed.
Yeah.
And being just a nice spot-up shooter and another option for the Blazers.
Yeah, well, just another option. And you look at Utah. Utah has Grayson Allen, right? And it was kind of the same thing. He wasn't that really proven, but they put him in and he fits a role that they needed. And so you put Simons in, and you're right, he could score on his own and he can create shots, but it's just the fact that you have another athletic guy who can shoot. I just think it will probably throw off the scouting report for OKC, kind of how they do things and how they prepare for the Blazers. You just throw him in, say, even for, you know, 10 minutes. You really think he's going to do that bad in 10 minutes, right? If your coach thoughts that you don't trust him like that. No, come on, man. Like, give the guy some burn, because we know that he could score. I think all Blazer fans know that he can score, but do OKC fans know that? Does OKC in general know that? And worst comes to worst, he comes in, he passes the ball around a couple of times, he misses a shot or two, and then you take him out. But say he gets hot and you get him hot, yeah, man, that's your extra spark that you need on the road when, you know, you don't have that extra energy, like you were saying, from the crowd.
Yeah, so we'll see how things work out. Game 4 tonight, Chesapeake Arena, 6:30 p.m. I believe that's on, is that on TNT or ESPN?
I think it's probably TNT.
TNT.
So we get to hear Ernie and Chuck and Shaq talk a little bit about them, who, by the way, two of the three of those guys have said that the Blazers can go to the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. Barkley doubled down on it, so not the sandwich, but Barkley actually did double down and say he thinks the Blazers can go all the way to the Finals. Okay, coming up next, man, we're going to dive a little bit into the Eastern Conference, or really into the rest of the playoffs. We haven't talked about those guys. The Celtics and the Pacers have a game that's about to start here in a few minutes on ABC. So Marcus said something about the fact he doesn't trust the Celtics. We're going to talk about that when we come back right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.